From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Michael Ignatieff is a scholar-turned-Canadian politician. He made an international name for himself in the 90s when he helped persuade Western leaders to send military forces into Kosovo. He taught human rights policy at Harvard. Now, the academic, born in Canada, is leading his country's main opposition party, the Liberals, in national elections. But as Anita Elash reports, his prestige abroad is turning out to be more of a hindrance than a help.
A campaign rally for Michael Ignatieff in Hamilton, Ontario, the center of Canada's steel industry. Ignatieff's mission here is to convince the working-class crowd of 3,000 that he's not the privileged snob they think he is. He's all smiles as he shakes hands, kisses a baby, and throws out a few compliments.
That's a nice hat.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
At the front of the room, he takes off his jacket and tucks his open-collar shirt loosely into his pants. Speaking without notes, in both English and French, he hammers home his message.
We need to put up against the politics of fear the politics of hope. La politique de l'espoir. Isn't that a beautiful word? It is the core of what liberalism is about. And you know what hope looks like? It looks like the liberal platform.
Ignatieff's platform emphasizes middle-class concerns, things like health care and education. Larry Hsu says that after hearing Ignatieff, he might just vote for him.
I saw, in spite of his intelligence, his track record, everything that he's done, I saw a modest man standing up there, and I believed what he actually said.
But Ignatieff is having a lot of trouble bringing Canadians around to Hsu's point of view. Political pundits agree he's run a pretty much flawless election campaign, but he still ranks third in opinion polls, far behind the current Conservative Party Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. Public policy consultant John Duffy says Ignatieff turned a lot of voters off when he returned from his job as a human rights professor at Harvard to enter Canadian politics after more than 30 years working in England and the United States. Duffy said Ignatieff was the type of intellectual you'd expect in Back Bay, Boston, or New York's Upper West Side, where it's all about wit, extra languages, and literary anecdotes.
None of those things are valued in national Canadian politics. In fact, they cost you.
Ignatieff loosened up and learned to speak everyday English during a bus tour of small-town Canada last summer. But he's still fighting the damage from a series of Conservative Party attack ads that questioned his patriotism on primetime TV over the winter.
While away, he called America his country. He even professed his love for America.
The ad concludes,
Ignatieff, he didn't come back for you.
When he's asked about the ads during one of his regular campaign press briefings, Ignatieff takes pains to point out he's not much different from a lot of Canadians.
I was born in this country of two Canadian parents, one of them a refugee and an immigrant. I was educated in Canada, completed my undergraduate education here, went overseas, yep, proud to have done so. And all the time I was overseas, maintained a steady connection with Canada. And I feel a sense of pride at having lived a Canadian life.
Ignatieff will be repeating that message until Election Day on May 2nd. But so far, he hasn't been able to boost his approval ratings, no matter what he does. Although the Liberal Party has run Canada for most of the last century, even Liberal Party insiders doubt Ignatieff will be able to convince people he's Canadian enough to be their prime minister. For NPR News, I'm Anita Elash in Toronto.